following podcast contains explicit language.
This probably won't be a surprise, but I really love listening to podcasts. And one of my favorite go-tos is a show called Beautiful Stories from Anonymous People. It's hosted by Chris Gethard. And what he does is he'll tweet out a phone number, and then whatever anonymous person calls in first, the two of them are going to spend the next hour talking about whatever. Ideally, things you don't normally share with another person. It's a great show. And I love the concept so much that I was thinking, what if I did this? What if I tweeted out a phone number and got an anonymous stranger to call in and talk with me for an hour about dating or whatever? So one night I was working late, and on a whim, I tweeted the phone number. Hello?
Hi, is this Beautiful Anonymous?
It's not. It's another podcast called YOY. I'm just stealing their idea. I'm so sorry.
I misunderstood your tweet. It's totally my fault.
Chris and I are not hanging out. It's just Andrea from YOY.
Hi, this is from Twitter, even though I'm supposed to be anonymous or something.
Or something? Anonymity is essential to this concept working. It's supposed to open up someone to sharing things that they wouldn't normally talk about. So I told that the gig was up. This has to be an actual anonymous stranger.
Oh, no!
Plus, I was secretly hoping to talk to a straight guy.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a dude that I could be like, why do dudes do this? Why do dudes do that? And he would tell me, like, what should I ask him if I get a dude on the line?
My biggest problem right now is why dudes can't just say, I think I changed my mind and I'm not interested in having a second date. Instead of
ghosting us.
Like, really? You just want a text buddy? Is that what this was?
This is YOY. I'm Andrea Salenzi. And today on the show, we're telling a ghosting story perfect for Halloween. It's a story about one of my deepest, darkest fears. And the ending, guys, I'm going to tell you now, it is one of the darkest, most chilling things we have ever aired here on the show. So if you're going to listen, I say go grab a bag of candy, close your Tinder app, turn off all the lights, and enjoy. When our anonymous guy called in, I got the feeling that he's never listened to the show.
I saw the phone number on Twitter, and also I like Chris's podcast, so I saw a retweet.
But I lucked out.
I do Tinder.
He's single.
I'm terrible at dating and job interviews.
And I soon came to learn that he is my least favorite kind of single straight guy.
I would like to figure out how to do an improv TV show on a bus.
An aspiring comedian.
I get frustrated thinking about it because it's like, I know other people have this idea, but I know how, it's all about the execution with this idea.
So then I started steering him towards talking about dating. I asked him the question our first caller was wondering, have you ever ghosted?
I've ghosted. I am a ghoster.
But he said it's happened to him too. He's also been ghosted.
On one of the better dates I've ever been on.
So then I asked him to tell this ghosting story with as much detail as possible, and he was game. It starts at work.
My main gig right now is that I'm a cater waiter.
And one night at work, a new girl showed up.
She made the closest thing to, like, an entrance that I've ever seen anyone make.
So she walked in her catering pants, her shirt, tie untied, and she's vaping. Behind her is this long trail of sweet white smoke.
She walked in, past the security, into the staff room, just like blowing like a plume of gross vapor. And it was kind of funny, and it was kind of like, is this like a self-aware thing where she, I don't know.
He was just staring at her, his mouth wide open.
I guess she noticed that I was looking at her because she walked over to me and blew it in my face.
Oh, my God. Who does that?
Well, she did that. I was like, okay, I'm not stupid. This is clearly a mind game.
That whole night, while they're running around with little trays of Cajun shrimp and brioche crostinis, He can feel her eyes following him.
I was walking back into the kitchen area to get another tray of whatever it was, hors d'oeuvres. And it's like this narrow hallway, made even narrower by like giant racks of champagne glasses and like highball glasses. Just like all the glassware for the evening was in this tiny hallway. I'm walking back. She's walking towards the floor with a tray. I'm walking back with a tray. So I have to like hug the wall. And she took one of the desserts off of the tray, and it was this mini eclair, and it's like glistening with the dew, that the condensation from when it comes out of the freezer. And she shoves it in my mouth as she's passing by.
It sounds kind of sexy to me.
It was the sexiest thing that happened to me in months.
As he swallowed his tiny eclair, he realized that this beautiful fellow caterwaiter probably likes him.
This is a clear sign. Like, I'm not good at picking up on signs often at all.
Oh, yeah, she's into you. Yeah.
That doesn't happen to me often, so I took it as a big sign.
So while everyone got ready to leave for the night, he decided to ask her out to a nearby wine and tapas bar.
This isn't completely accurate because she didn't look like this, but the vibe she was giving off was like, have you seen Being John Malkovich?
Yeah.
She was like Catherine Keener in Being John Malkovich.
Oh, my God. So like that straight, chin-length, dark hair.
Just like flirty, you know?
Wow.
Like there's potential for something else interesting to happen.
So when he finally asked her, she said yes, kind of tussled his hair. When they got to the bar, it was crowded, loud, a Saturday night. They started ordering a ton of wine and tapas.
Well, I'm just trying to get like a sense of her because I'm still kind of mystified that she's at this job. She's like totally over it, totally too cool for it. I got the sense that she didn't even need the job because she had like some kind of rich family member or something.
But what did you guys talk about?
I tried talking about my art, tried talking about writing. I tried talking about my comedy, things like that. And it just didn't. It wasn't hitting. Like, she was not interested. It was clear she really liked the drinks I was buying her.
I had a theory about why she might be looking so bored. You tell her all about the bus? Do you tell her your bus idea?
I might have. I might have, yeah.
But turns out she does have an interest in comedy.
Well, I remember getting a little too excited when I found out she had actually had a thing with.
She had a one-night thing with the very popular comedian. God, I wish I could say his name here.
I'm so pathetic that I'm like, oh, cool. You know, like, is that the response? I didn't say it like that, but internally my attitude was like, oh, she's cool enough to sleep with one comedian.
Of course, I can't say who it is, but let's just say it might rhyme with Schmannable Schmurris.
She's listening to all of it. She's kind of like in and out, attention-wise. She's like going to the bathroom a lot. And
you counted how many times she went to the bathroom? That's weird.
When it becomes like over three, it's like, okay, what's going on here?
So he comes up with a plan to save the date. What if he tried her move and gently shoved a piece of food in her mouth?
It wasn't an eclair. It was just like this fritter.
His date smiled and chewed. She wiped some sauce out of the corner of her mouth cutely. She clearly liked that he was making moves.
She's like chewing and smiling and like kind of surprised that I even did something like that. And then her face falls and it's like, oh, fuck. And she looks at me and she asks if there's mushrooms in this fritter. And I was like, I don't know. Like, we're drunk. We're playing with food right now. I just kind of laughed it off because I don't know. I guess she was like a picky eater. And I used to have this thing with raw tomatoes. So I get it.
You don't think she could have been allergic or something?
Well, I think if she was allergic, she would have said that.
So now the date's heating up. They walk arm in arm to a nearby dive bar. And right away, she's ordering shots.
When you're doing shots of Jägermeister, it's like, yes, it has come to this. This is what this night is now.
And more shots.
you're doing another one? Okay, I'll do another one. The making out was almost cartoonishly soon after the shots. We're like grabbing each other's faces in the bar, like just gross, just let's make out right now. Let's hear. Have you seen the SNL sketch where it's like,
you are so gross!
You are. Oh. I saw that one time and it's like, yeah, I've been there. And it was with her. And it was just, okay, let's leave because it's time, you know?
So they call a car. They're going to go back to her place. And as our anonymous caller looked out on the city skyline, he was feeling lucky. He's met this amazing girl. They've had a fun night. I wonder what could go wrong. We're going to find out after a break. We're back with our anonymous stranger on the line. Remember, I do not know this guy's name. I do not know his number. And now he's going back to her place.
We're making out in the cab, and I get out, and I'm feeling awesome. We're in a nice neighborhood where the air is just like, it just smells nicer than it does in Midtown.
Yeah.
And I'm like taking a deep breath. I slam the taxi door, and it makes a weird noise. And she was crawling out the same door that I had opened, and I bonked her head, like slamming the door on the top of her head.
Hard?
I grew up watching America's Funniest Home Videos, so my first response is to laugh hard, and I'm drunk, I'm wasted, so I did laugh hard.
This poor girl, right? So the two of them stumble into her apartment. She flips on the lights, locks the door behind them, and then she starts pulling him by the arm up a staircase.
I think she's taking me to her bedroom. We walk right into her bathroom, and she just starts puking everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And when I mean everywhere, she started puking in the sink, and it wouldn't go down the sink. But that was just like, it was closer than the toilet. So she starts puking in the toilet, too. And I just...
Are you someone who's, like, good with puke, or does it make you...
I'm the worst with puke.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm wasted. So I'm like on the brink when I see and hear her puking. So I just...
Oh, my God.
I walk into the other room because I know it's going to be like stereo, puking in stereo if I'm anywhere near this. So I'm now in this completely new apartment, huge apartment. There was plenty of room for me to walk away and not hear it. I even kind of closed the door most of the way so I couldn't see or anything like that. Or hear it. So I'm in this completely almost stranger's apartment, and she's throwing up, like making a production out of it, vocalizing the heaving, like, ruh.
Now, up until this point, I have been right there with this guy, but I will not believe that she is puking just to be dramatic.
Okay. But at the same time, I don't know her at all. And what I do know about her is all the big milestone moments that have led up to this moment where she has just acted like a space alien.
Like when she vaped in his face, when she shoved the food in his mouth, when they went shot for shot at the bar, how she bragged about her rich relative, even this incredible apartment.
Is vomiting like part of this pattern where she just does it big?
I guess he thought that those were manic pixie dream barfs.
So I'm in the living room for what feels like a long time, and she starts asking for help. I'm like, okay, how can I help? And I'm like, kind of like through the crack in the door, just kind of like, what am I supposed to do? And she asks for paper towels.
But they're out of paper towels.
So I go in there, open the door, and her face is in the toilet, and there's like food in the sink that's not going down. And it's like, are you asking me to clean this? And she's like, just do anything. So what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm wasted. I can't clean up this sink full of barf. And I was understandably upset. So, and I'm not proud of this, I took toilet paper and I was trying to like scoop the barf out of the sink.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And it's just like, it's just my hand in a sink full of barf at that point.
Can we agree that this is the worst date ever? I think we found the award here.
I went from so high up and like, this is me at my adventurous best.
Oh, buddy.
And bold, you know,
no.
To barehanded with like a strip of toilet paper on my palm, like scooping the puke and asking her to move her head so I could gently place this soaked toilet paper into the water with the rest of her barf.
Oh, this poor girl. Is she doing okay at this point?
She's not. None of us are doing okay. Neither of us.
And now they're fighting.
My hand touched her hair. It's just like, don't touch me. Please just keep cleaning the sink.
Earlier that night, he decided to match her boldness with his own, and it was working. And now that new confidence, it's turning him into a monster.
I decide, fuck this. And can I say that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
I was so mad. So I just put my hand in the sink, and I just start flipping the barf onto the floor. And I'm like, this is what this night is now. It's like, this is how did we get here? I'm mad, you're mad. And I'm just like, I overreacted, but I splashed it everywhere on the floor while she was barfing in the toilet.
He had to get out of there.
It was a lie, but it was like, this has been great. I hope you feel better.
And then she tried to stand up to see him out, but she couldn't get up.
I knew that she was going to have a last laugh moment, and I was just kind of like bracing myself for whatever she was going to say. And she wanted me to take her to the hospital. And in my mind, I'm like, of course, because if I do that, then I'm stuck there for the rest of the night.
And he said he hates hospitals.
I know what alcohol poisoning looks like, and this wasn't it.
Your doctor?
I could have been a doctor, but that's besides the point.
He never thought her situation was that serious.
Have a glass of water and get in bed and then see how you feel and call me. And that's important, that last part, because I said call me and she didn't.
She probably didn't call you because she was embarrassed. I mean, what a nightmare, right?
I told you all that to tell you that ghosting works both ways.
You never heard from her again.
She did not call me back. She did not text me. I haven't seen her at another catering gig. This is ghosting.
And then he told me this, which really creeped me out.
I looked up her apartment on Street Easy because I wanted to see how much she was paying for rent.
I've done this too. I'll admit it.
Her apartment is for rent.
What?
I don't know. I guess she moved or whatever. I guess our date was like kind of the straw that broke the camel's back or something. And she just kind of left New York forever. I don't know. It sucks.
Do you ever worry that she could have died? People die of alcohol poisoning all the time.
To be honest, I'd never really ever worry about that. I just never really had that concern.
But, you know, if you really think about it, there was the drinking. There was you hitting her with the taxi cab.
Which was funny.
And then there's the mushroom thing, which we don't know if that was a preference or an allergy.
And we don't even know if there were mushrooms in that. We knew there were mushrooms in something.
There was a study a few years ago, and it found that when it comes to online dating, a man's biggest fear is that his date will turn out to be fat. A woman's biggest fear, that her date will turn out to be a serial killer. Straight women are afraid of dying on a date because we date men. Men who are quicker to assume that we are attention-seeking instead of in need of medical attention.
You don't die on, like, a date like that. It was like a funny story.
But you have zero evidence that she ever did anything after that night. You haven't heard a thing from her.
Look, but it's like an extreme stance to take to, like, that someone would die.
Ugh, I'm just creeped out by your story now. I thought I was going to, you know, finally hear something sexy on my podcast.
The story I really wanted to tell you, but it is...
I don't know if we have time for another story.
I can make it quick because I wrote down the bullet points because I was going to do this at the Moth.
Do you have her full name? Can we just Google her really quick? You don't have to tell it to me, but you could just Google it yourself.
Look, I'm going to say this as gently as I can. I feel like I don't have to be responsible for you feeling uncomfortable because the fact is I reached out to you in this thing where it's like, if this is, it's your show, but I put myself out there and I feel like I have the right to feel uncomfortable because you're like grilling me for an hour on this fun date that I had. And for you to turn it around and try to make it uncomfortable for me because you don't like my story is like, it's clear that your motive here is to make me look like some kind of monster, which I'm not. I'm a nice guy. I'm thankful that I remained anonymous because I could sue you for this.
You've known this whole time that you're being recorded. You've consented to this project. You responded to my tweet. I don't even know if you listened to my podcast.
No, I don't. I just saw a phone number because I have a Google alert because I like calling into Beautiful Anonymous because that's a good podcast. So if we don't have anything else to talk about because we're just in a mode where you just want to attack me for giving away a free story.
You can hang up anytime, man, but according to our clock, we have 40 seconds left. So this is your chance, you know? Say something to convince me that you are actually a nice guy and not just the kind of dude who leaves a woman alone barfing in her apartment late at night.
If you don't want to take up all of my 40 seconds with what you have to say?
This is your platform. Let it fly, man.
I'm a nice, regular guy. Things like this don't happen to me. And everyone should just be responsible for their own selves.
You have been listening to this week's Halloween special. Now, for our ghosting story series, I had this idea that I wanted to look at the thing that really makes me upset about ghosting. Part of being a human being is that there's this thing, it's called basic human decency. It's the social code that dictates how we treat each other, how we even treat a stranger. But there's something about dating that can make you treat someone worse than you would a stranger. So in this story, we imagined a woman who was alone and sick, and under what circumstances it would make a self-proclaimed nice guy take off. I don't normally tell you guys when fiction shows up on our show, but yes, our anonymous caller was a performer, and this was a work of fiction. Happy Halloween. So while you chew on that, we're going to be back in a moment with another blind Skype date. And now it's time for another blind Skype date. Meet Amy and Matt. At the beginning of their date, as if taken right out of the script of a romantic comedy, they both asked each other, "How old are you?" at the exact same moment.
I don't. How old are you? Jinx, you owe me a Coke now.
Coke because they both live in Atlanta. He's 30 years old, Skyping from home with a beer in one hand, and she just turned 31, Skyping in from her car parked outside of her office.
I was going to ask if you were in your car, but now I'm pretty much convinced of it.
I've got my dog in here too, and he's just like probably chewing up everything in my back seat, actually. Hey, what are you eating? I know I was.
Now you definitely need to turn the video back on because I want to see that dog.
I know. Oh my gosh. He's being decent.
So now they're going to ask each other a series of increasingly personal questions.
Okay. So Matt, I love food. Like everything in my life revolves around what I'm going to eat next. So what is your ideal meal?
Ideal meal. I'm going to go with just a absolute sushi feast.
Wow, that's awesome. What's your favorite kind of sushi?
Maybe like a yellowtail sashimi.
Okay, I have a confession to make.
What's that?
I don't really eat sushi, so I don't really know what that is.
Okay, it's like just the cut raw fish.
Okay.
And honestly, I don't eat sushi a lot either. It's a like special occasion type of meal for me.
Yeah, totally.
So what would your favorite meal be, or your ideal meal?
Oh, mine would be pizza and wings. How many can you eat? What's your record for wing eating?
I've never attempted this record. I'm going to say that.
Okay, me neither.
I would guess like a solid 20, maybe.
My like younger boy cousins the other day when I was back home, they each got like, I think they got like 20 and 30 a piece. And I was like, you guys are... They're growing boys, I guess. But I was like, how? Yeah. That's a lot of wings. I can only eat like six, I think.
I'm just going to drop this little hint right now. I just won a $50 gift certificate to Wing Factory.
You did?
And, yeah. So I'm probably going to need some company because I can't eat $50 worth of wings no matter what.
Great. Yeah, I think I can help you with the wings for sure.
Cool. I like this next question a lot. What is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Probably the first one that comes to mind is, I guess it was received, but he gave it to everyone that was watching his TV show, and it was from Conan O'Brien. He was really emotional about it because he was losing the show, but he said,
nobody in life gets exactly what they thought they were going to get. But if you work really hard and you're kind, amazing things will happen.
That's good.
I like that. Yeah. What about yours?
So I actually picked this question because I had a conversation about this recently. You always spend good money on the things that separate you from the earth. So that's your shoes, your tires, and your mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And a like old man actually told me that. Just like a random old guy.
Yeah. Wow. That's really deep. Well, I thought you were going to say like an airplane ticket too. Cause I was like, wow, yeah, that's really true. But that's really cool.
So this is much deeper, I think.
Oh, yeah.
What is
question?
Your,
oh, boy.
What is your biggest fear regarding love and relationships?
Oh my gosh. You went all the way there. You did.
Big jump.
We went from talking about pizza to talking about fears.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is really hard. I think the hardest thing or the scariest thing is imagining like choosing the wrong person. I don't know. I come from a culture where like you should be able to work it out, like figure it out. You know, nothing is so bad that you have to get divorced. Like I would never want to get divorced or separated. Like I love the idea of being with someone forever. You know, choosing someone who like falls out of love with me or cheats on me or something like that. Like that would be so, like, that's one of my biggest fears. What is yours?
Mine actually could probably be related to your fear a little bit, but it's not, I guess, finding someone where the feelings and the passion and the kind of hope and outlook is like really high and not having that matched.
So it just occurred to me that we've been talking a long time and I don't know how long.
Yeah. So I was actually going to say, I know you're still in your car and yet to get home on a work night. So I do want to maybe grab your number and we can actually make the wings thing happen.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Let's see. I'm on my phone. Let me pull up. Okay. I'm ready.
So after the date, they did meet up for brunch. Amy says that they ate delicious food And Matt told us that they got into a good amount of meaningful conversation. They have another date planned. He's going to be meeting her friends and colleagues for Disney trivia. So while it's unclear from their updates if this connection is romantic or platonic, she did use a bunch of winky smiley faces in her email. Our show is produced by me, Andrea Salenzi, with Lindsay Cradwell. Please stay tuned till after the credits. I'm going to be telling you about an exciting new audio service for kids. It's called Pinup. Our editor is Hillary Frank. This story was developed with help from Riley Solner, Sam Dingman, and Chris Berube. Our artwork changes every week, thanks to Teddy Blanks at Chips.nyc. Our spooky Halloween music was made by Lee Rosevere. Special thanks to Mia LaBelle and Andy Bowers at Panoply. We will not have a new show for you next week because I am off to Chicago to tape a live show on stage. This one was made possible by MM LaFleur. MM LaFleur is a women's workwear brand whose mission is to take the work out of dressing for work. This is my last time nagging you guys to get your tickets. It's going to be a really fun show, and some parts, the best parts, might not end up in the final podcast episode. So get your tickets at yyradio.com. Next time on YOY, I'm going to let our blind Skype daters just take over the show.
What were we talking about? Something about...
Oh, just modern dating and the perils of it.
Oh, yeah. No, all the perils.
They get it. Thank you guys for sticking around till after the show. Joining me now is my friend and colleague, Alana, from the Pinna team.
Hi, I'm so delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
What's Pinna? P-I-N-N-A.
Pinna is our brand new app-based audio service for kids, and it features a universe of exciting audio narratives for children.
Kids love listening to podcasts.
Yes, and they are prime young listeners. If you think about it, children do a lot of listening to narratives anyways. Bedtime, story time, in the classroom. Many are illiterate because they have not yet learned to read. So, you know, it's great to have a story told.
Right, and a screen-free story. Tell me about Season Isle. This is one of the shows you've been working on.
Yes, yes. So Season Isle is a 20-episode series about twins Juniper and Zephyr Hillhouse who live on Season Isle. It is an island with four quadrants. Each has a season that reigns eternal.
Let's hear a sample from Season Isle. And this is a show that's in 360 audio, so make sure your headphones are on.
Whoa, got enough stuff in that pack? That thing's gonna pull you right off the zip line.
It's always better to be prepared. You've got some space in you.
I am not carrying your random stuff.
Did you go to the bathroom?
The zipline doesn't take that long.
Long enough.
I'm fine. Let's go down to Icetown. Winter, here we come.
One, two, three.
Oh, that's so fun. One of my other favorite shows offered on the Pinna app is Sarah and Duck.
Oh, yes. A favorite of mine.
Let's hear a short sample from Sarah and Duck.
Looks like a rainbow.
That is some amazing lemon water. Well, how does it taste?
Good.
I mean, one of the things I love about Sarah and Duck is that it has a lot of really, to me, they're delightful sounds, like rainbow lemon water and the sound of a rain, you know, what is the sound of a rainbow? And Sarah and Duck does a lot of great cueing for kids. So it prompts them to listen closely and will kind of, it's not quite a quiz at the end of it, but it really engages kids to keep them actively listening. And I think does it really well with, you know, its young audience in mind.
And that's a thing about Pinna is they have shows for kids everywhere from 4 years old to 12 years old. But parents like it too. I find Sarah and Duck really soothing. So this is one of my favorite shows I found on the Pinna app. It's called Good Sport. And this is an episode that they did with an NFL player, Marty Bennett.
Yes. That one is really cool.
They lived on top of this hill on Conti Road. So you go around this long curve and you'll go past this bayou. And this bayou, we used to fish in. But we wasn't really sure if you could eat the fish in it because you could catch a shoe or you could catch a fish.
I'm going to go deep into the woods, yeah. Like deep.
I wonder if those pigs are gonna get them again.
Don't worry about them.
Oh!
Yeah,
I caught something!
Yeah! Let's see what it is!
It's a monster!
It's
a big one.
And those are real kids reenacting his memory.
Which I love so much. With kids, I think it's really helpful for them to have a little bit of extra magic thrown in.
So audio gets your kids off the screen and lets them use their imagination. Pinna is ad-free, guilt-free, and a great activity for car time, bath time, group time, bedtime, anytime.
Anytime.
So try Pinna for free. Here's what you do. You go to pinna.fm/listen to start your free trial today.
Pinna, P as in pie, I-N-N-A, Pinna.
Now I want some pie.
Me too.
Thank you so much for coming on YOY to chat.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. And I hope everyone has a wonderful time listening to Pinna content. Also, a secret, it is for kids, but adults can listen too.
Pinna.fm/listen.